What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and right there is Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back again. You know what time it is. Time to talk some football this week, get into some real cool topics here. We're going to be covering, like, for the AFC conference, all the teams in the AFC. We're going to give you guys a little insight on who we might think might be the odd man out of each roster. We're going to pick one player each team that we think is most likely might get cut and give you that analysis. But before that, Jim, what do we got on the docket, bro?
We've got some Travis Kelce news out there. You know, George Kittle just recently got his contract done, and now the highest paid tight end in the NFL. And you'd think that a brother, Travis Kelce, seeing their buddies and all, you know, and respect, mutual respect, would be happy for the guy. But apparently not, Joe, right?
Yeah, apparently, you know, Travis, he made a comment about his new deal that George Kittle struck. The fact that, you know, if you want to get paid the most, you got to beat the best. And I'm paraphrasing, of course. But basically, he's saying, in a nutshell, that George Kittle does not deserve the deal that he got. He does not deserve to be the highest paid tight end. And Travis Kelce thinks that he still owns the crown. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Jim. I got to admit, I think, Travis, I think that it's that time that the torch has already been passed. In fact, it was taken from you. Now, George Kittle is definitely a better tight end currently than Travis Kelce. Like, it's just that you can't argue right. That. I know Chief fans out there, you might be upset by hearing this, but this is logic. This is reasonable. Like, think about it. When you watch Travis Kelce right now, yes, of course he still gets open. He doesn't have to run any real routes. He just goes out to the open space, sits there, waits for Patty Mahomes to throw him the football, and that's how he gets his yards. But where's the incredible yak that he used to have? The yards after catch. Mm-hmm. Where he would catch the ball, and instead of turning it into 5 or 10 yards, he'd turn it into 15 or 20 or more. Score a touchdown. George Kittle is a better blocker right now. George Kittle is he's more aggressive at the point of attack in terms of catching the football. He's more consistent catching the football. And he's got big playability. He's got better acceleration, better speed, all of that. Mm-hmm. Across the board. There's no doubt about it. George Kittle is deserving of this contract. It's been a long time coming for him. And now, Travis, sorry to say, bro, your time's over.
Yeah, I mean, again, you see it, what it is just a flat-out resentment. And the fact that people always see when the next man up comes up and it's, you know, their contract year and then they get something, usually it's the next guy is like, oh, all right, here we go. So I want a little bit more of what that guy just got. But Travis Kelce, like you said, I mean, he's 35 years old. Last year, he took a drastic downwards, you know, tick off of his production. And it just seemed like his body, his mental health in it wasn't around in the game anymore. Head wasn't in the game. And right. I think this is another example that kind of shows that same thing, where I think old Travis Kelce would have been super amped for his boy. Like, hey, you know, Travis Kelce, there you go. You did too, you know, and blah, blah, and, you know, tight ends are on the map, you know, this and that. Now it seems like, oh, man, you know, he's getting paid now. Maybe I am going down the hill. You know, I'm not the man on the hill that's got to get knocked off, even though now I have to feel like I have to ask, you know, act like it. And it's kind of a cheap shot, the fact that the 49ers went to the Super Bowl twice against the Chiefs and lost both times. And, you know, that's a factor here, you know, and I think that's where he's kind of throwing shade right there, if you want to say that. Hey, listen, you were there. You didn't do anything. You know, you didn't win. You didn't do that and this and that, which I think is again, it's really, like, you know, petty at this point. Because if you want to put them back together, again, side-by-side comparison, I think, again, best overall player, and I think coaches will probably agree with this if they voted on it, that overall, George Kittle, again, receiver, better blocker, you know what I mean, despite how, you know, physical Travis Kelce can be, George Kittle just is all around player and not selfish at all either. You know what I mean? You've seen him play through all kinds of things, never yelling in the face of, you know, Kyle Shanahan at all, you know, get me the ball, right, and blah, blah, blah. He's been a team, a great player, asked to do whatever he needs to do for the team and does it.
Yeah, I mean, Travis Kelce, we've seen it, like, on the sidelines, blowing up, literally losing his mind, losing his composure. You know, Will Ferrell said it best, keep your composure! Just keep your composure! You know, I mean, he literally, I've never seen, actually, you can't say never, but he's one of the very few people that I can count on one hand that I've seen had an incredible outburst like he did on the sideline with the Chiefs, literally bumping his head coach,
right,
to put
right
him back in the game. I mean, such childish acts for a guy who's a grown man. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, I know he loves the game of football. There's no doubt about it. Has tremendous passion for it. Wants to keep playing. But at 35 years old, man, you gotta face facts. Like, it's getting close to the end for you. Like, this season coming up could be very well be the last season for Travis Kelce, because, you know, Jim, we were talking about it when we were off the show. He might be trying to angle for another new extension here. And I'm sorry, at a 35-year-old tight end where they've already given a contract extension, you know, to one of their younger tight ends that are going to be replacing him. Mm-hmm. And it's like the writing's already on the wall, even in KC. Like, they're looking towards the future, and they're not going to stick with the past tight end that they've had.
Right. Yeah, that's what made it even interesting, looking at the rosters, too, and who might be the odd man out for the Chiefs here, too. So who knows? Mm-hmm. Guys, stay tuned for that. We've got a couple other headlines out there that the NFL is bouncing around, too. We just recently found out, too, now that the Baltimore Ravens had released Justin Tucker here as the NFL does their investigation into things, you know, with all the things swirling around Justin Tucker, yeah. And you know, he's another fan of the massage therapists and things like that and stuff. And it's crazy. Now, do you think we've seen Baltimore kind of hold on to players before? Even at Ray Rice, they waited till the very last minute until a video was showing proof of what happened with him, so they finally released him. But they've stuck behind players, I guess, that have been of bad, things coming out about them,
their
character, yeah, off the field issues. But this one, it seems like now they're just kind of like, you know, whatever. And do you think that if he hadn't played as poorly as he did last year, that maybe they would be sticking around a little closer to him?
Usually what NFL teams do for any one player is they will normally show support. They'll back the player until there's ironclad critical evidence saying otherwise. You know, we've seen it with Baltimore, especially in the past, you know, with Ray Rice, on how, you know, former all-pro type of running back, a guy who was having an excellent career for them, and he goes buck wild on his wife in a domestic abuse case, and until that video came out from the elevator where he literally blasted her in the face with a punch. I mean, they were sticking by him until that got released. You know, then when that evidence got released, they're like, oh, snap. Yeah, guys, yeah, we can't keep this guy on the roster. We'll be thrown to the wolves. So PR battles, all that. So until that happens, where the evidence does come out, it's concrete, or if they're hearing something out of the courts, maybe there's a little leaked information saying you might want to move on from this guy now because he's going down. The book's going to get thrown at him. So, and it's not just the Baltimore Ravens, the Kansas City Chiefs, with their plethora of wide receivers that keep getting into trouble off the field. We don't even know what the outcome is going to be for Rashee Rice for this upcoming season. Is he good? Mm-hmm. Is it possible he does jail time? Is he going to get off scot-free and be able to play? We already know that by the NFL's viewpoint, they're saying he's not going to serve any suspension this season. If he's cleared his name, he's going to be ready to go and play this year. So NFL standards, which is already screwed up, no matter, they never handle these situations the right way. And now you have Justin Tucker with the Baltimore Ravens, where I think the Ravens, this is a preemptive strike where they're just like, let's get ahead of the game. Tucker, we know, had a terrible year as a kicker for us. Couldn't figure it out all year. And he is getting older. It's time to move on. It's time to make a change here at the kicking position. So I feel like it wasn't, I don't even think it was too much about the court issue. I think it was more about his lack of play this season and how he never was able to recoup in the end.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was getting at too. I think that's partially, again, if he was the same old Justin Tucker too, I think they would have been like, okay, you know, we still stay with you and this and that, or else, you know, whatever. But again, once you know that too, they ended up drafting a kicker in the sixth round too. The writing was probably, I guess, on the wall. They're like, screw it. I can't get any worse here. So we'll see what happens.
And they also signed a kicker after the draft to bring in and compete. So it's like with those two moves right there and the fact that he's getting paid as much as he is, one of the highest paid kickers in football, it was just time to move on from the salary, move on from an aging player, and they're ready to move forward.
Right. A guy who is locked down, you know, like dead nuts. Like that's a guy who you relied on every single time. He's like, oh, this guy's money right here. This is, you know, in a time that they really needed him too, because they looked like a force last year, you know what I mean, and making a strong playoff run, and he failed them mercifully. Like, if he scored any of those points and field goals that he had went for, it's a different ball game in a lot of those games, you know, that they just gave up. So, I mean, that was the difference maker. So, yeah, and we'll see as that story unfolds and see what are just rumors or how true some of these things are. So he's still dealing with it now, and he's going to be dealing with it while not with the team. And then we'll see what happens with his career after that.
Jim, I got to say, you know, for the viewers out there, you know, if you're wondering what other great content we have, it's really simple. You head over to Grumblings Media, our YouTube channel over there. Grumblings Media doing some big things, making some big moves. We've eclipsed 10,000 subscribers. That's right. We're in the double digits already. Dude, it's only been about a year. It's a little over a year, and we've got over 10,000 subscribers. So truly amazing milestone already, and we are still looking to climb up more. We want you guys to be part of it, the Blitz Nation out there. Head over there. Hit that subscribe button for us. Hit the thumbs up while you're there. Share it to all your family and friends. And become part of the nation.
Absolutely. Definitely like the video, comment too out there, especially when we do our segments. So we love it out there. We already got a like too. We appreciate you out there.
And we are live, by the way. We're live. Yes, you drop comments down below. We're going to react to them. You got a question. You got an opinion about something we're talking about. Anything.
All right, here we go. We're going to go into Odd Man Out. We're going to start off with the AFC this week, next week. We'll do the NFC just because it's just so damn long to come up through all this and then trying to research this and figure out who we think might get and be the roster cut. I know when we talked about this, Joe, we kind of have a two different points of view on this one. I'm looking at it as there, you know, certain areas on a team that it's a little crowded here. So again, especially with the draft just came through, they pulled in some guys that are going to be replacing some of these guys that have been there. And then also traded for dudes too, but you know, it's to try the guy out too. So is he even a fit and is he going to stick around, and what makes sense for them too? I think money wise too, where they can be okay to let the guy go too as well. And I think you're looking at it too in the same kind of sense, but then also at starter battles to where was it a former starter? And now maybe he's going to be taking a backseat to a new guy that they've got now as the incumbent. Is that right?
I said I'm going to challenge myself for this exercise.
All right.
And basically say, you know what? I'm going to cut somebody that is either a backup or a starter for every team. Now,
all right.
Most likely it's always going to be the backup, but you may or may not be surprised on who exactly I'm thinking for each team, because I don't want to go with, like, you know, the third string, you know, or anything like that. Cause that's kind of easy. Cause a lot of these guys might not make it. You might even see some guys that are, seated as fourth or fifth string at the moment. But then when training camp rolls around, maybe they play their role, they play their way into a role in onto the roster. So we've seen it happen before with a lot of young guys that come out of nowhere. So I'm challenging myself this time.
No easy cuts. All right. So we'll just start right off with you then. We'll go with the AFC East, and let's ride with the Buffalo Bills now. Buffalo Bills, Joe.
Buffalo Bills, the person that I'm cutting from this team is Curtis Samuel, the wide receiver. A little bit of the journeyman wide receiver, has bounced around to some different teams, never was really able to stick with any one team and solidify a starting spot. And because he's always bounced around, he's not getting any younger, and it would be an easy cut. He's right now penciled in on the depth chart as a backup, but a name that some people do, are well known. They know him. They've heard him in the news. They've heard him sign with multiple teams. So not someone that is, anybody, any kind of up and coming type of player, but a guy that's kind of just been that kind of journeyman guy that just never seems to stick with any one roster.
Yeah, and that was what I was thinking about, Joe. I really got close to doing, Curtis Samuel too as well, because I was kind of picking up what you were putting down too with the additions that they had too. They got Elijah Moore now too that they added, so that crowds up that.
Yeah, that's nice signing.
Wide receiving core a little bit more too as well. So it was a tough one, and I was even looking at money even to cut them what they're going to save and stuff, and he was there. But I didn't go with him, and I also looked at KJ Hamler. Hamler's issue is just he's just injured all the time. He's still young, so I still think he's got some playability. I think he still has a chance to do something, and he doesn't make a whole lot either. So he was close on my list, but I ended up going with Laviska Shenault, even though they just grabbed him. It's a trial run for him. Laviska Shenault, he's still only 26, which blows my mind, Joe. I'm like, how is this guy this even young still? Because I feel like he's been around forever even. And that's the thing. Shenault has played for multiple teams, Jacksonville, Carolina, Seattle, and now Buffalo. And look at his age. And he's played with all those teams. And the problem is he hasn't found a stable role where he can consistently contribute, and hasn't contributed. He's asked to kind of been that guy for Jacksonville, be that number one starter. He was their star at one point, but still nothing crazy. He hasn't really amounted into anything. And that's why I saw Curtis Samuel, he was something even at least for a while, and I think he could still contribute. He's just not going to be the guy and have to get asked upon anymore. So I thought about, a couple of those guys, but I ended up going with Laviska Shenault. Which I could see again, and I think they're going to save $2 million. I think if they cut him, so I think it'll be a good roster cut too if he doesn't make the team. All right, so next we got the Miami Dolphins, Joe. Miami Dolphins, what do you got here for this one for the odd man out?
I'm going to go on the defensive side for this one for the Miami Dolphins. Ooh. We've all heard the name in the news about possibly being traded. A lot of teams are. Some teams, I will say, not a lot, but there's some teams that are interested that have kind of dipped their toe in the water, so to speak, to see what the temperature is, like what would they have to give up in compensation. The contract is really what the sticking point is. We've heard that the Rams are interested in trading for him, but it has to be at a very cheap price in terms of compensation, and they really want the Dolphins to eat a lot of that guaranteed money in order for it to work. And I'm not 100% sure. And I really don't think that they're going to come to that conclusion where the Dolphins are going to be comfortable enough to eat some of that salary just to move on from none other than Jalen Ramsey to another team and give up, and only get basically maybe a sixth or seventh round pick. Cause let's face it, Jalen Ramsey is an aging corner. He's getting paid a lopsided amount of money with his contract, and he has played his last snap as a Dolphin. Even if a trade, which I don't expect is going to happen, I could see them cutting Jalen Ramsey as a post June 1st cut to save them some money, and that, my friend, is my cut for the Dolphins.
All right, Joe. Yeah, that one, I thought about that one because it is there. The fact that, you know, they're looking to put him on the trading block and things like that. But I decided to go a little deeper, but I like it. I like the pick. I'm going with Cameron Good for the Dolphins. He's a linebacker, too, on that defensive side. I went defense, too, as well. It's kind of getting crowded in that spot. And the thing is, for a guy who's 27, too, he hasn't really produced a lot in the NFL, too, due to a combination of stuff, primarily including a ruptured patella tendon, suffered last season, and a subsequent knee injury and stuff like that. So his thing is consistently not being able to get on the field and not even, you know, put up numbers and inefficiency, not being able to get out there and get anywhere. So where he is now with his contract too, it's friendly for them to kind of get out of it. And they've already brought in some guys to kind of fill that gap. So they can kind of walk away from him here and he can go somewhere else and try and make a team again somewhere else. So I just think with depth and the fact that he can't stay on the field and when he doesn't really perform, I think he's just going to find his way out, you know, maybe even just on the practice squad. But I'd say he's the odd man out here for the Dolphins. But I like Jalen Ramsey, too, again, because, again, it seems like he's the dude, you know, they're going to move on from, you know, again, he's older, you know, they're done with him, trying to save some money if they can get that trade or whatever. But I like it. All right, so next we got the New England Patriots. Joe, Patriots, who you got on this roster where they just made a bunch of different additions, so it's probably getting crowded in a bunch of different areas, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots, I think, have had one of the more successful off seasons this year, and they managed to add talent throughout wide receiver, which was a major concern, offensive line, whether it be free agency or draft, and then even on the defense. But I'm going to stick with the offense, because as much as this position was lackluster, was super weak last year, I think they have a guy by the name of Kendrick Bourne who may not make the roster when it's all said and done. They have Jalen Polk, who's kind of waiting in the wings. This is going to be his second year, looking to make a big impression in training camp. If he does so, you might actually see Kendrick Bourne lose his job and might not make the roster because they have a lot of talent around him as well. You know, Kayshon Boutte, I know that they love that kid and what his potential could be. Stephon Diggs they brought in. Mac Hollins they brought in. Demario Douglas, who's been there already, but a guy who's a very shifty slot receiver. So with all that being said, I got to say, I kind of suspect that Kendrick Bourne is the guy, the odd man out for the Patriots.
All right. It's kind of funny that you said that, Joe, too, because I looked at a bunch of different guys, too. And I'm like, what's the guy? Who's the guy that's probably the odd man out? And for me, it's also Kendrick Bourne. So we agreed on one together, though. So there
no
we go.
Way.
Yes, bang, we got one. And the same thing. Dude, the dude's 29, right? He's been there forever, had the opportunity to be the guy, and he has had some success for them before. But his 2023 season ended prematurely due to a torn ACL. While he was re-signed by the Patriots, he also started the 2024 season on the PUP list. So not only was he not really producing and kind of being that guy when they needed him to be that guy before, now he's just getting injured too. So and even after returning from injury, inconsistent play too as well. And he's even gotten benched because of it. So once signs of that are going on, and again, now Vrabel's in there, has no real ties to him. Yeah, he said he's 29 now. I see him making his exit too as well. I agree. So there you go. I like it. So again, and you saw they brought Stephon Diggs and other talent in there. And although Stephon Diggs is older too, he's the guy. He's the number one guy for them. And they paid the money for him to be there. Kendrick Bourne, you don't need it anymore. See ya. So next,
Jim, I may or may not have some breaking news.
Oh, really?
It may sounds may like not. What we're hearing it. Is that maybe may not, but I'm not saying what I'm saying is it's not official. But what we're hearing is that the Pittsburgh Steelers currently, right now, are working on a deal to send away George Pickens, wide receiver from the Pittsburgh Steelers. We don't know what team it is, but we know that it's in the works. And stay tuned to see if it gets done tonight. Or keep an eye out for tomorrow.
Wow. All right, so then that means that George Pickens can't be your guy, your man out, odd man out then tonight, though. That's not fair.
not with Pittsburgh, not anymore, right?
Oh, boy. Nice. So, all right, so we're in the AFC East right now, then we'll move on to the North. But the Jets, who do you got for the Jets now, Joe, with the odd man out of this one? We've agreed on one so far.
So I'm still sticking with offense with the Jets. I know that they've made some moves. They made some moves with the offensive line, you know, via draft. They made some moves with the wide receivers. You know, they end up getting Josh Reynolds from the Jaguars. Looks like he's penciled in to start right now. But there's a guy that kind of was a little lackluster. We're going to see what happens in training camp. But if he doesn't, you know, pick up the production, doesn't show some flashes in training camp, I could really expect Malachi Corley, the wide receiver for the Jets, who they just drafted a season ago in the third round. But, man, did he struggle. He had a hard time. Wasn't running that crisp of routes that a lot of people expected him to. Couldn't really digest the playbook that well. So he went through a lot of trials and tribulations this season. But, man, I tell you right now, doesn't look good for him going into his second year. And if he continues to not show anything for the New York Jets, he could get the axe.
Oh, wow. Okay. There you go. So it seems okay. All right. I'm going to go with the defensive side of the ball. And I got to bring up my list here. There we go. I went with the middle linebacker, Jamin Davis. All right. And this is maybe kind of strange, too. But again, if you look at his production here, where he is with bringing players in now to fill that spot, plus two starters that are already there, he's sliding down in the depth chart. And the problem is, too, is when he was even drafted by Washington, he faced legal challenges with reckless driving. And then maybe that just, threw his career off into a certain thing affecting his gameplay, because it seemed he never, transitioned to the linebacker spot even like they wanted him to. He never really fit in and wasn't really producing. Given a shot here with the Jets, and okay again, but not a whole lot of production again, to where now with a young guy just kind of sliding down the depth chart now that they've got good starters in there too. Again, looking at his contract, they could save some money still, and I feel like, this could be the move here for the Jets here, too, and he can find another team to maybe try for here, and it wouldn't affect the Jets that badly. So what do you think?
It makes sense. The only thing about Jamin Davis, too, is I'll say is that like he kind of just got there on the team. So,
right.
It's a slippery slope for Jamin. And you might hit the nail on the head with this one where, you know, he could be on the fringe, on the bubble. And quite honestly, could be a candidate to get that cut. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see at the end of training camp.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. All right, so next, now we're moving to the AFC North, traveling to the North with the Baltimore Ravens. Joe, Ravens, who do you think? Who do you think gets the cut on this one? I mean, they just brought in, DeAndre Hopkins, a wide receiver now, right?
Yeah. I know, right? So I wanted to go that way, I'm not going to lie. But it's just, I don't know. I feel like they brought Hopkins there for a reason. He's going to be that kind of like, I don't view him as an X receiver. Like they have him penciled in there as an outside threat. This is at this point in Hopkins' career, he should be pushed to the slot. He would be lethal there. So maybe they make that change as they get into training camp or whatnot. But I'm going to go with someone a little bit different and someone who's very well known. And this is a guy who's had his ups and downs, you know, catching the football, not really making that much of a dramatic impact. A guy like Isaiah Likely has been shining bright for the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And that may lead to moving on from an aging veteran like Mark Andrews at tight end.
Whoa,
this is a guy who it would be a shock to most of the Ravens flock out there. But again, another guy who's getting older, who makes a lot of money, who has had issues critical catches. Think about the play, you know, where in the corner of the end zone, Lamar got it to him in the perfect spot to catch the football.
So that's the game winner.
Critical
right
moments
there.
Have plagued him, and I feel like it's a possibility that I know he's a huge name. I know, you know, the Ravens flock would have my head for saying it, but I got to be honest. Unless he improves his game, maybe the Baltimore Ravens look to move on from him, save a little bit of money, and he goes on to somewhere else.
All right, here we go. The Baltimore Ravens. I'm thinking offensive side of the ball, right? And I'm going to go wide receiver again. But, again, just because they brought in D-Hop and Flowers is nice. So, I mean, they have a good group there. They haven't been always, you know, strong at wide receiver. But I think a project that they have here is that has just kind of failed in the NFL altogether. And I don't know if it's just his fault or just, you know, he sucks or whatever, but I don't just think he's really working now, you know, and he's converted to a position here. I'm going Malik Cunningham. Malik Cunningham, drafted by the Patriots. Okay. He's a quarterback. Didn't really make it here. You know, he's had some, you know, promising, you know, preseason play a little bit, you know, for them. The Ravens bring him in, and they said, hey, we're going to try to transition you to a wide receiver. And maybe it was just because they were struggling and couldn't find wide receivers. But they tried it. But now coach is, again, looking at him now and just hasn't really panned out and hasn't really working. That transition hasn't worked. So what do you do with this guy? So that's why I think I find they're going to see with this guy. They're like, we tried to do something with him. We took a little shot. It's not going to cost us. I think if they cut him, they, you know, save like, a, you know, $1.5 million or something. You know, they don't owe him anything. So they could be like, all right, let's just walk away from this dude. We tried to convert him into something. Didn't really work. So I say with the wide receiver depth that they've got now, they can just look to say, hey, screw it. Let's let this guy walk. And then who knows, maybe he goes, what, to the UFL or something like that and tries it out at quarterback again or may F1 or
maybe
something.
Arena. Maybe he goes to Arena.
Right. You know, I mean, that's an option here. But there's that's so what I just want to think here. Right. And so, yeah. So I'd say just, you know, struggling again. So I don't think he makes the cut here, Malik Cunningham. And I don't know, that might be an easy one. You know what I mean? But there's other players on there too. I could have easily went to just like, oh, that guy's not going to make it. But I thought that was going to be an interesting one. All right.
That's
next
definitely an interesting one.
All right. So next we've got the Cincinnati Bengals, Joe, as we cover the AFC North odd man out.
So the Bengals, I was looking through and I landed at running back. And we all know Chase Brown, excellent running back for them, has earned the right to be the starter there. Zach Moss, who kind of was a little bit lackluster while he played last season, then he was lost to the season due to injury. They bring in Samaj Perine to help with that running back. They also drafted Taj Brooks, who's a pretty intriguing player that they really do like. And that kind of led me to the decision of cutting Zach Moss, veteran at running back, that even though his time in Cincinnati may be cut short, I think this is a guy who's kind of outstayed his welcome here in Cincinnati, who hasn't really shown much, even when he was healthy, really didn't make an impact in the running game. And that's where Chase Brown took over. So I think they're pretty confident in Chase Brown. Zach Moss might exactly just get cut at the end of the training camp. It might not be early, but I think when it comes down to the final cuts, that's when Cincinnati is going to give him the axe, because they didn't bring Samaj Perine in for nothing. They brought him back, be that receiving threat like he always has been, and Taj Brooks is another intriguing player. So they have other guys. They have like three extra running backs beyond that are seen as long shots, but again, they are younger, up and coming. So I got Zach Moss as being that cut.
Right, and that was a tough one for me because I went running back as well. I looked at a bunch of different ones, and I'm like, well, do they keep these guys just for depth pieces too, just because, you know, to have a strong running back room? Because I thought even the same thing, because you said Chase Brown took Zach Moss's job. P. Ryan's in there, so they brought him in there for something, and I still think he's better than some of these other guys. And that's where I thought I would land with Gary Brightwell. I know him as a New York Giants fan. Again, he had some spots here with the Giants, but still couldn't really secure a role there, too. No, it's just that, again, young player, but still, I don't think he's, you know, very good again. And that, so I think being further down on this roster, I think still Zach Moss is a better option for your third, even RB, or second RB if you wanted to or whatnot. I just don't think Gary Brightwell has enough to scratch up to make that roster with who's there right at this point. Even though, like you said, it's all true with Zach Moss. Given the job to see what you could do with it, you failed and you let Chase Brown come in there and take it from you. But I still think Moss sprinkled in is still a better option, or P. Ryan as well, than like a Gary Brightwell to crack the spot. So I think he's just going to be the odd man out, man. I think that's just what it is. So, all right, next up on the AFC North, odd man out, we've got the Cleveland Browns. Now, what do we do with this one? Do we look at quarterbacks, Joe, and say, hey, one of these guys, do we dare say one of these guys in the quarterback room is going to be the odd man out?
I, in fact, do dare say that one of these quarterbacks
dare you
on the way out. And honestly, it's going to be one of the veterans. And by all accounts, it sounds like Joe Flacco is going to be the at least the initial starter, the veteran of that group, a guy who has done really well for Cleveland the last time he was there. So I because of that and the fact that they definitely have invested in guys like Dillon Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, both from this draft class, I don't think they cut either one of them. Because they really like Gabriel. They view him as a starter. That's why they took him in the third round. Shedeur Sanders went way later than anybody anticipated. And I view him as a developmental, you know, project a little bit. And that's the reason why he fell so far. So I'm going to go with Kenny Pickett, to be honest, which is getting the axe. He's not going to be able to outplay Joe Flacco, who's been there, done that. Even though Pickett is younger, you could always make that, you know, that argument, but I think that they've invested heavily in the quarterback position. This is going to be full of competition throughout training camp. There's not going to be any quick decision with this group, but in the end, I got Kenny Pickett getting the edge on this one.
Right. And I see you there too, absolutely. Excuse me. Because again, before the draft, you didn't know what you were going to get to. And even Barry has even said it out there. He's like, I didn't know we were going to draft two quarterbacks in this draft, you know, but we did. I'm like, okay, all right. So what was your plan then? You know,
oh,
you just went off
and
the plan?
By the way, you know, during the draft, a lot of people, and myself included, you know, kind of speculated that the Shedeur Sanders pick was kind of maybe pushed along by the owner. Mm-hmm. But in a recent press conference, both GM and head coach both held hands and said, nope, we weren't pushed into it. We wanted Shedeur. So take that as you will, but I still think the owner pushed for Shedeur Sanders to get drafted.
All right. So, but yeah, I can see that too. I can see Kenneth Pickett, you know, on the move because again, it's crowded there. You've traded for him. You want to maybe try and trade him away, get something for it. And the guy probably wants to start somewhere, especially because, again, you go in there, you go with that trade, you're like, hey, I'm happy, I can maybe start here. Here's my second chance or third chance, you know. And then now they draft two quarterbacks, not only just one, but now two. So now it's a crowded house. But I did not go there. I decided to go running back again. I was looking at a running back room, and again, it's still pretty packed there. Even though Nick Chubb isn't there anymore, I still like what they got there. And then Jerome Ford even too as a backup. So I'm going to go with Pierre Strong again. Pierre Strong's there, kind of finds his way out. Another young guy that just, again, never really, maybe it's because of physical limitations, you know, just falling further down on the depth chart because of some of these guys that are out there just way more talented than he is. So I think, again, he had a hamstring injury, a rib contusion too on top of it. It's limited his play, his performance maybe too, and that's maybe factors into it. So, again, maybe just cut him and then maybe he's got a shot somewhere else or whatever to try something else. I don't think he really stays on the roster just because of depth and things like that too. And, again, maybe that's just not fair. That's not fair reach again. Maybe he went too far down there on that one. But I just feel like, again, with how crowded it is, he's the guy that probably makes more sense. And they can walk away from the contract, too. It's easy for him. and it doesn't really kill him at all. So next, we've got the Steelers here in the AFC North here. Steelers, Joe, who do you got on this one?
So I can't pick George Pickens because we put that little bit of news that he might be on the move and on the way out. I was going to go with maybe Robert Woods, but it's interesting the timing of that signing. Mm-hmm. Just recently, Robert Woods got added to this team, a veteran wide receiver. And now, all of a sudden, we're hearing rumors about George Pickens possibly being moved. So with that, it's kind of coinciding this whole deal. So Robert Woods, I believe, is safe. I was going to initially pick him, but instead I'm going to go with linebacker Cole Holcomb, the backup linebacker to Patrick Queen. They always seem to stack that position very well. They definitely got some pass rushers at those positions. They got some Mack trucks, if you will, to deliver punishment at the line of scrimmage. But I feel like Cole Holcomb, this could be where the spot where he doesn't quite make the team. He, you know, landed there in Pittsburgh, has been there for a short stint. It might be time, by the time the training camp is over with, we're going to see hear Cole Holcomb's name as being one of those cuts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can see that, too. I thought about him. I looked at him, too, actually, myself. But I stuck with offensive again, because of how kind of crowded it is. I went running back again one more time, too. Najee Harris, they move on from Najee Harris. They draft Caleb Johnson in the third round. They've got Jaylen Warren there still. They bring in Kenneth Gainwell, which I thought was a pretty good addition, too, on top of him. And I hate to say it again, because it's probably, you know, he fits into the scheme of what Arthur Smith wants, and he's the guy that brought him in, Cordarrelle Patterson. I think now it's time to move on. With the lack of production that he even had and the fact that he's just as old as he is, I don't think he's even a very good returner at this point if that's where he even wanted to plug and play him right now. And so I don't think he's going to be able to make the team. I think now it's time. He's outlived his time. He's not even a starting returner for them right now. They've got Calvin Austin and Gainwell in there plugged in for him right now. So, again, I don't know if this is an easy one or a cheap shot at it, but, again, it makes sense. Cordarrelle Patterson, he's older, dude. You rejuvenated your career with Arthur Smith, you know, but now it's time that Cordarrelle Patterson is time to walk away. So.
You're kicking an old man when he's down.
He's an old man when he's down. But come on. He made it a lot further than he probably should have. All right. So next, we love it out there. You guys put some comments out there. Tell us what you think. Who's the odd man out for your team out there? Or as we're going through the AFC, as we go through the teams, let us know, too, in the comments. We appreciate it. And don't forget to like the video, too, as well. Likes help us out, too, as well. And we're moving on to the AFC South. AFC South, Joe, the Houston Texans we'll start off with here. Texans made a few different additions here in the draft and also getting some more weapons built up a little bit on the defense. So what do you think here for the Houston Texans here? Who's the odd man out?
So for the Texans, I'm going to go with a name that people, he's very well known throughout the league. He does play on the defensive side of the ball. None other than D-tackle Denico Autry. Right now he's penciled as the backup for the position. And what's interesting is that they play a 3-4 scheme. And in my opinion, Denico Autry doesn't exactly fit a 3-4 scheme. He fits a 4-3 scheme, which I think is going to be one of these kind of things where they're going to try this player out in this new scheme that he's going to have to learn. And he might not quite make that cut because he just simply doesn't fit it. He's not a big nose tackle. He's not a guy who's a space eater, things of that nature. Now, if they were to move him maybe at the DN position, I think he would make it. But as of right now on the depth chart, he's penciled in as a D tackle. So I think that Denico Autry, an aging player, another one of these guys where he still has talent, still can play in this league, but I feel like it's the wrong system for him. And I think at the very end, Denico Autry is also going to be missing out on the roster.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that too as well. Get an aging player. Again, you hate to see it, but, I mean, again, I think that's just the same thing that goes on with them
it's
too.
It's the cycle of life, Jim.
It is. It really is. No matter how much you think you can compete and things, yeah, I get that. All right, so you went defense now on this one. I'm trying to get away from this, but I think I went running back again. But I think, again, because some of these rooms are so crowded, geez. And some of their players are still there with who they have. I just look at it, and I'm like, they got even Damian Pierce down farther on the depth chart on this one, is where how deep they are, I think, at running back. I'm going running back again. And I'm going Dare Ugumbowale. Say that with really a mouthful of marbles, right? Yeah, right. You know, which they've had as mainly a special teams type of guy here too, you know, slash running back. And a young guy. Just injuries always. And if you're always on the IR and trying to scratch away and trying to make something here, and you can't, you know, make the depth chart in and out off of the practice squad. Even though you've tried different positions and contribute on special teams, just can't get on the offensive side. And now with how deep the running back room is, I just don't see him making the team now. Now he's just pushed further back, and now he goes into the abyss. And another guy that has some tools, but maybe UFL or, you know, Arena League, again, for some guys like this guy, can be more of a fit. But I just think with the crowded room, he's the odd man out. So that's what I got to do. So, but I like what you did too. I appreciate that. All right, next, let's move on to the Indianapolis Colts here in the AFC South. Joe, Colts, who do you have on this one?
This one's a little bit more difficult. The roster isn't completely stacked, but it's like it's one of these things where like it's going to be one of these like these guys that people don't expect. Like obviously, you look at the guys that are kind of trying to just make the team; they're fringe bubble players. But like I'm going to go with the defensive end and Samson Ebukam. From formerly of the 49ers, comes over to try to help the Colts, but really hasn't been that impactful since he landed in Indy. A guy who has been kind of like a disappointment. He comes over there. They did draft Laiatu Latu, if you remember, in the 24 draft, who kind of was periodically getting on the football field, developing right before our very eyes, was kind of really crushing it, really. Anytime he got an opportunity, he took it and ran with it. And now he's solidified that starting spot coming this season. So because of that, they might be moving on from the veteran, Samson, this offseason.
I had thought about that. I definitely did, Joe. I looked at Samson, but then I looked at even his cap number. And I was like, I don't think they're going to take a hit like that. So I was like, I don't know. I'm going to look elsewhere here, you know. But I was picking up what you were putting down, though. I was feeling it. Instead, I went with Jelani Woods, the tight end, you know, for the Colts. And, right, he's struggled, again, just because of injuries here. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, man. Again, he got sidelined for the entire, you know, 2023 season. It also impacted his 2024 season, again, hamstring issues. And he also got turf toe on top of it. And I think your biggest, you know, thing is your best ability is availability. And again, if further down on that tight end depth chart, I don't think he's going to scratch his way up there. It just kind of injury ridden. And again, another contract that they don't really owe him a whole lot. They can get out of and save like $1.5 million and whatever, you know, tight ends now are a dime a dozen, especially with, you know, having, you know, 10 right now that are trying to make the team. So I just think he might be the odd man out of this one. But I was feeling you on that bonus, Samson Ebukam, though.
Bonus, I'll say Mo Alie-Cox might be the one getting cut, and not maybe Jelani Woods. Jelani Woods, much younger than Mo Alie-Cox, and he's kind of been inconsistent as well. So that could be another name to look out for.
All right. All right. Next up, we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars. What do you got, Joe?
Well, I will say this. I mean, going into the draft, a lot of people kind of anticipated Mason Graham going to Jacksonville. But before they made that huge trade to move up to get Travis Hunter, And now you're looking at their depth chart here. They seem pretty comfortable. They got Eric Armstead, but I'm really kind of intrigued here that he's penciled in as the backup. None other to Mason Smith, who's kind of like that up-and-coming stud that they had from last draft. So could that quite honestly mean that maybe Eric Armstead might be on the way out, a guy, or do they keep him in that rotation? So I'm going to go with none other than Emmanuel Ogba, defensive end for the Jaguars. Recently signed, by the way, but I think that he's not going to be able to just kind of hang in there with the Jaguars and their defense, what they like to do. He's sitting right behind Josh Hines-Allen, and I know that they have some other guys behind him that are younger, that are chomping at the bid. So I'm going to go with Emmanuel Ogba on this one as a surprise cut.
Yeah, that would be a little bit of a surprise one. But hey, you never know sometimes, right? All right. So,
like the lottery.
I'm going to go on the defensive side. I'm not going to go. Yeah. I'm not going to go running back this time. So, all right. Everybody can relax. I'm not going to go running back.
You're not?
One.
Okay.
No. But I'm going to go with, I know. And then tight end, right? I like to cut the tight ends in running backs, but I'm going to go free safety, Andrew Wingard. Free safety, Andrew Wingard. Guy's been in the league for like 7 years, I think, right? Seven years of experience. He's 28 years old and hasn't been on the field at all for like any team. You know what I mean? Just can't do it. Just can't be out there. And not contributing for even the Jags as well. Again, sliding down the depth chart. He only played one season total out of his career, out of seven seasons. Because of injuries with the Titans, and the Titans would save $2.6 million too if they cut him too. So that's a little bit more of a chunk of change for a guy again because of plagued with injuries throughout his career. Again, somehow still gets paid, still out there, but bouncing in and off the practice squad here and there, activated, waved, picked back up. Andrew Wingard, I guess he's going to be the odd man out of this with that secondary that they've got now. So moving on now to the Tennessee Titans to round out the AFC South. Then we'll finish off with the West here, the Wild Wild West. Joe, the Tennessee Titans here, who do you got for the odd man out?
I mean, it's almost too easy at this point. Wide receiver Treylon Burks, a guy who's been a disappointment since he's been drafted, who hasn't been able – I mean, we talk about it all the time on the show. Best ability is availability, right? Well, Treylon Burks hasn't really been that available, and when he has been available and on the football field, he's terrible. He drops the football. He doesn't run the right route sometimes. Like, this guy has been an utter disappointment for this franchise, and I think this is the crossroads where they're just like, you know what? We had enough. Instead of keep paying this guy, let's just move on from him. He's not even making that much, but that's how negatively they probably think about him. Is the fact that it's just been a bust type of a pick, and let's get out of this.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You know, I think again they might just ride that out and see what happens. But potentially, who knows? I would be shocked that again he has slid down. At least what I'm seeing on our lads, that Van Jefferson they have penciled in.
They added a lot of
starting over
too.
Yeah, oh yeah, I get that. Yeah, oh yeah, who knows that. It could happen. But I'm going to go and look at the quarterback room. The fact that they had Will Levis, Brandon Allen, Tim Boyle in on this team, and then they drafted Cam Ward. Obviously, Cam Ward, they're looking to start. It's going to be Will Levis there. So do they move on from Will Levis potentially? But I think they hold on to him still, even though if you might want to try and complain, I want to go somewhere else, it ain't going to matter. He doesn't have the leverage. So I think they're going to hang on to both of those guys. And at this point, I would take Brandon Allen over Tim Boyle. Tim Boyle has been kind of that journeyman, and he's even not that old, I don't think. And he's traveled from different teams all around. And again, most recently with the Giants, and they only brought him last minute because of injuries that they had had. So I think Tim Boyle, he's going to be the odd man out of this one. All right, next, let's move to the AFC West here. And start off with the Broncos, the Denver Broncos. Joe, what are you thinking on this one with the Broncos and what they're going to do?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of surprised in the draft that they ended up going with the running back position in the second round. I know the running backs were super deep this year, and why not grab yourself a possible stud in a very deep class? But they drafted R.J. Harvey, who is one of my favorites coming out, and that means that with a very overcrowded type of position here, somebody's got to go. And I'm going to go with Audric Estime, who they drafted in the fifth round last draft. I think that it might be his time to go. They have Jaleel McLaughlin, who's kind of like that jitterbug of a wide receiver, the receiving threat. Now you add R.J. Harvey, who's already penciled in, is going to be the starter. And you also got some other guys behind him, like Tyler Batty, who's kind of been that real shifty type of a player for them. So I think Audric Estime, even though he was this big, powerful back, he's really not going to give you any kind of explosive plays. He might be able to grind out some short yardage things, but is that really going to be of value for Sean Payton's high-flying, revamped type of offense? So give me Audric Estime as one of the cuts.
Interesting. I like it, though. I like it, Joe. I'm going to go running back on this one again.
He's laughing. He's laughing. What position are you going?
I'm going running back.
Really?
So it's going to be, they just drafted R.J. Harvey in the second round. I mean, Audric Estime, you were just talking about him. But Jaleel McLaughlin, I see that. But I think Tyler Batty is the one that's going to be out of this one again, just because he showed some promise that he couldn't do some stuff. But, you know, he's pulled off a 70-yard run against the Bucs. But injuries again, just placed on injured reserve. So I just don't think, again, with the roster spot that they have here. Right. No, I get it. But I just wondering if they just go with him instead, but it could be either of those guys. So I'm going running back with that. So I'm going to go with Tyler Batty. All right. So next, the Chiefs, Joe. This one, I swear it's not going to be running back. All right. So Chiefs, who do you got? Travis Kelce.
He goes, I hope, not going to be the running back. Oh man. So the Chiefs now, they've done a phenomenal job, and they always have for years, recouping better talent, especially on the defensive side. It seems like even when they may lose some players, they always manage to bring someone else in to kind of fill that void, and they don't miss a beat. You know, they hold on to their defensive coordinator, who took a couple of head coaching jobs, could have possibly went somewhere else, but he ends up staying with the Chiefs. I think that defense is going to stay intact. I don't expect too many crazy cuts on that side of the ball, but there is a guy who's kind of been there for a while. He's still young, but has never been able to be that starting wide receiver for them. Drafted in 22, a second-round pick in Sky Moore, a guy who every single opportunity this guy gets, he just doesn't execute. He doesn't make any big plays. Where's the explosiveness that the Chiefs kind of thought that they were going to get when they drafted him? You don't see it. So Sky Moore right now is penciled as a backup. And I know this is a team that's always looking for wide receivers, but, you know, They drafted Jalen Royals this year, who I think is a sleeper and a stud out of the fourth round. I think he's going to possibly push for one of these starting jobs. But they still have Juju there. They still have those guys. So if you go with the core five that they already have, Rashee Rice, if he returns, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, I think Sky Moore, this might be the year where Sky Moore ends up getting cut from the Chiefs.
All right. I looked at that, too. I looked at Sky Moore. I thought about it, and I'm probably for all the same reasons that you had said, too, as well, is one major, I guess, you know, moment that popped out was he won had that game winning touchdown where he was end up being wide open, you know, in making it here, which a lot of people thought that was, you know, some kind of wrong play on the Chiefs here. They should have got called for that one. But yeah, that's his one moment. Like you said, besides that, I mean, he's missed a lot of different opportunities. So I get that. I almost went there. But I'm looking at least for now, and with age, Robert Tonyan at tight end. Travis Kelce, okay. Yes, I guess he's aging there too. But like you said, you've already got Noah Gray
too. He just
yeah, yeah, I know, I get it. But I think they're going to try him out. But again, I mean, I think they're going to keep. I think they really like Jared Wiley too. Wiley and Noah Gray, Kelsey, and I think they're trying out Robert Tonyan. But his best days are over too. You know, I mean, his production is taking a step back, and I think it's going to be hard for him to crack this roster spot. So I'm going to go with Robert Tonyan on this one. All right, next, moving on to your Las Vegas Raiders.
I could go a few different ways because, let's face it, the roster isn't all full of studs. But I'm going to go on the defensive side, even though, you know, there's still some holes. Like, I still feel like they need to add more corners. They might add a veteran corner when as we get approach training camp. I think that would be a smart move. This is the guy who is a recent signee from the Jets, comes over, seen more as like a run stuffer, but even with the Jets and the surrounding talent around him, he didn't have a really good year, was almost invisible, at times. So with the new influx with younger talent, you know, with a couple of draft picks that they took a couple of D tackles kind of a little bit on day three, with a lot of potential there. I think that he might be the odd man out in the end.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. And this one for me, I mean, you know the team the best, so it's probably, you know, a good call to go with where you're going. Me, I struggled to try and find somebody. I'm looking at them like, oh, who does go and this and that. And I was looking at that wide receiver room, so I'm going with, and this was tough. Again, I couldn't find somebody. I was like, who is? I went with Christian Wilkerson. And maybe, again, I guess because of lack of play time, struggling, he's got multiple concussions. Missed the entire season when he was there with the Patriots. But
you know who I think? I would have made a recommendation if you wanted. I would have said Zamir White.
Yeah, I looked at him, too. I really did.
His time is over.
Yes, I thought that maybe too. I'm like, but is it too early? I'm like, because he had the shot last year. But I mean, do they keep him on the depth chart there?
Think about it this way.
I almost said that. Yeah,
think about it this way.
Yeah.
New regime, no ties to him. He's been a big disappointment since he's been there. Paul ball carry vision. Like, the guy literally just can't make anybody miss. When you have, now you have Ashton Jeanty, you have Raheem Morris, or Mostert. You have Raheem Mostert, and you have some other young talent in, like, Sincere McCormick. So I think that it's very possible that Zamir White could be also another guy that, even though he's kind of, like, beloved by the fan base, and I don't know why, but it might be his time, too.
All right. So, I mean, I thought about it. Again, I was looking at him like, man, maybe that's the one. So maybe I should have just went with my gut and went that one. So, all right, and finally here, we round out the AFC odd man out, we're going to cover the Chargers here, the Los Angeles Chargers. Joe, who's the odd man out on this one? I'd like to see who you think on this one.
It's interesting because they always seem to, like, stack certain positions, right? Because it is Jim Harbaugh. He loves to run. His main thing is offensive linemen and tight ends. That's what he loves, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you look at, like, the tight end group, It's pretty deep. Like, we're talking like six tight ends deep. Definitely kind of expect somebody to get cut, and they end up drafting a guy by the name of Aronde Gadsden in this draft, who I think they think highly of, and a guy who, quite honestly, could really push for some major playing time. They have Tyler Conklin, who I mentioned in our off-season coverage that was kind of like one of my most underrated tight end free agents that were available. So I could really see a scenario where Tyler Moose, the starter, Aronde Gadsden is the backup, and Will Dissly, the veteran former Seahawk with the Chargers, moves on from them and let the youth continue to grow.
Wow. All right. Interesting. I looked at that too, and that possible scenario, but I wasn't sure. I'm like, do they just maybe settle and, kind of let him be the starter? And I wasn't sure again. So I went lazy on this one, I guess, too. I went running back and how deep they are. And the fact that they grabbed Omarion Hampton, they still have Najee Harris that they grabbed, too, in free agency. They have Haskins, too, I think, who could still contribute. So I went Jarrett Patterson, again, fact that he hasn't been able to find opportunities, and he's an undrafted free agent back in 2021, just hasn't been able to make roster spots, experienced some injuries, including concussions and knee injuries on top of it, too. I think it's just that he's not, with how deep this is, he doesn't have a chance, even though, again, a few years in the league, but not going to have a shot. So I went lazy again, running back, I guess. I'm sorry, Joe.
Keep in mind, such a disappointment, Jim. Come on. keep in mind that, none other than, Dobbins is still a free agent out there. And technically, the Chargers could match any offer to him. So if in fact they decide to match, let's just say, like a one-year, $3 million contract, and they want to match it and keep him, somebody else is getting cut too. Because think about how crazy that would be, is if they brought back Dobbins, or if they just flat out signed him back. How crazy would that trio be? Omarion Hampton, mm-hmm. who they just drafted, Najee Harris, who they signed from Pittsburgh, and then you also bring back the former starter. That's a three-headed monster. I think mm-hmm. that's something that might be looked into. So something else to keep an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. So there you go. That's the odd man out. We covered the AFC. Next week, we'll do the NFC. We talked about Justin Tucker's being released. Kelsey upset with Kittle. Oh, my God, now you're the highest paid. Boo-hoo. To be the best, you got to beat the best, But that's it for our show. Joe, tell everybody out there again one more time where they can find more episodes like this one and other shows on Grumblings Media.
I mean, Grumblings Media has a ton to offer. If you're interested in sports, we're not the only one there. You can go, if you're in the NBA, we got the buzzer beaters over there. We got our political shows, and we got a lot of those. We got some more sports coming. We don't have every sport covered just yet, but make sure you tune in for any kind of new talent that pops in. We even got a guy that covers video games and all things of that nature. So make sure you head over to Grumblings Media as we speak. Head over there, hit that subscribe button for us, hit the thumbs up. While you're there, it's so easy. Just click the button. It doesn't even cost you anything. We're not asking for like some of these other, media companies like, oh, pay $10 a month just to watch our content. No, this is absolutely free,
we'll
bro.
We'll give you a special thing. Yeah.
Come on in. And please don't forget, don't hesitate. When we're live, make sure you drop down in the comments. Let us know you're here. Even if you want to say, hey, what's up? We'll give you a shout out. Any questions, comments, opinions about what we're talking about, or if you want to just completely turn around the conversation and talk about something else, let us know in the comment section. Thanks, guys, for tuning in, and can't wait to see you next week.